Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hello.
That right at the same time that time. Perfect.
We do this every time, don't we? We kind of look and see who's going to go first.
Yeah.
It's like a draw.
Exactly.
We should back up and say draw and see who goes first.
Well, this is a super exciting episode. We've had a couple cabin chats, and now we have another interview, and we had another double interview with the team and the brothers that helped relaunch the iconic Scotch cooler. So this is an incredible story. It's super interesting, and one that's pretty close to your heart and your shop.
Yeah. Yep. I have been a collector of Scotch coolers for, gosh, I said it must have been my whole adult life that I've been collecting them. I collect other thermoses and coolers and things too, but these are my favorite. And when I found out that they were coming back, it was so exciting. And then a few months ago, Scotch Cooler, Patrick and Mark Hunt, the brothers, invited me to come to Camp Wandawega to help launch their new jugs. So I was able to meet them in person. And the first thing after hearing their story I thought of was, we got to have them on the Cabin Cast. We have to share this story. It's a fascinating story, kind of an American dream story to hear how everybody came together to launch this great product line, you know, taking everybody's talents. They're very humble and appreciative of all the people that gave them ideas or helped them out. So it was just really fun to hear. And it was great to have this conversation.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I'm always curious about is, like, you collect these coolers and there's a lot of jugs, and growing up, right, when you get beverages in big jugs, the thing that comes to me is like the green Gatorade, you know, at soccer yeah. games, right? That's filled yeah. with water yeah. or yeah. or Gatorade or
like
whatever.
It's poured the over the coaches.
Right. And then yeah. as you get older in college, they usually put, you know, different things in there where you put like, you know, four bottles of booze and,
right.
you know, make WAP or whatever, that you know, yep. punch. Mm-hmm. And now that they brought this back, it's a 2-gallon jug, you know, this amazing, iconic style. Perfect for taking out on the boat to the beach. And, you know, there's the easy things. If you have kids, you know, you put lemonade in there. But if you want to have a little more of an adult drink, we would love to hear from our listeners some good recipes that you can make in bulk.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Put in that cooler and take along with you to wherever you go. It's so handy with this great handle on it to take it along. I definitely think everybody would be gathering around if you walked in with that cooler full of some special drink.
Yeah.
I'm excited. That's a fun question. Ask our listeners what they would put in there.
Yeah. So if you have any good recipes for a little more bulk cooler carrying, we'd love to hear that from everybody and share that, you know, shoot us a message when we do an Instagram post or send us an email and we'll share it on the episode to yeah. follow. So, I love this. It's three gentlemen brought this back to life. They got the trademarks back and you'll hear about that, but it's really cool that recognize something in the past in the history of America, then to do the research to find out if the trademark's still available, and then to say, okay, it is available, and say, let's relaunch this thing. Let's go through everything, the redesigns using modern pieces and parts. And they put so much thought and the ideas into not just taking the style and keeping natural to that, but also making it better in a bunch of different ways that they'll talk about too.
Yeah, I said I think I said this at the end of the episode, but it's just so it's well done from everything from the packaging to the manufacturing. They thought of every little detail, and it's just a really positive story and product that brings a lot of joy because it brings back nostalgic memories. We talk about that, I think, in every single episode on the yeah. podcast, and it's here for making memories for the future.
Yeah, and that's the awesome thing, too, is now there's a whole new... Because I kind of missed out on that, right? When I was growing up a little bit,
You little baby.
I know. So, yeah, we didn't really have the Scotch coolers around, and it just might have been just my parents didn't have one, my grandparents didn't have one that I remember. And then you'll see them in antique shops or vintage shops, and they always look amazing. It, you know, they spun off with 100 different kind of competitors, and all different styles and plaids and looks, but the Scotch one is like the original, the icon. And now, you know, people are going to have them out and about, and there's a whole new generation of kids that are going to grow up and, you know, have them available in their, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like creating new nostalgia. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just a wonderful story that we're excited to share.
Yeah. Enjoy, everyone.
We are so excited to introduce you today to Patrick and Mark Hunt, owners of Scotch Cooler. The brothers grew up in Wisconsin and spent a lot of time outdoors with their family, Scotch Cooler, by their sides. And it was those happy memories that inspired them to reboot the brand. So welcome, Patrick and Mark. We're so excited to introduce you to our listeners.
Thanks, Kristen. Pleasure to be here.
So can we just start out with hearing a little bit about the history of Scotch Cooler, because I know I started collecting these probably as soon as I had my own money to spend. And my friends are still collectors, lots of my followers online. It's something that really brings people together, I think, because of all the nostalgia behind it. So could you share the history?
Sure, it really does. You know, our nostalgia really started in the 60s, but when we got involved in relaunching the brand, we needed to do our research on the origins of the brand. And interestingly, it was kind of a circuitous route to where we are now. Back in about 1919, I believe, the Hamilton Sheet Metal Company was making metal mailboxes and food graders. And then they came up with an idea to produce a round metal bucket that was originally designed as a minnow bucket, but then eventually evolved into a metal bucket that was, and you'll love this in terms of your podcast, to keep groceries cold on the way to the lake and fish cold on the way back.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
it's a great origin story. So, you know, they were growing, they were doing well, very utilitarian, in part because of the Prohibition era. So maybe there wasn't a lot of fun going on anywhere except in underground basements. But in 1938, as they were growing, they wanted to get more creative. And so they were really thinking about how they can make more and more products that were along this kind of entertainment family get-together concept. But then World War II came around. And as you know, any manufacturer involved with sheet metal or anyone who, frankly, could lend their resources to the war effort, those resources were redirected. So that changed their plans in the short run. So those fishing buckets would have to take a back seat to that noble effort. Well, then the war ended. And then that was kind of a perfect storm because you had all these returning GIs. They were building homes and what really became first-ring suburbs and metropolitan areas. So you had a lot of growth. So obviously mailboxes were back in play as a very successful item for Scotch. But then they really wanted to really leverage this kind of consumer goods product that they had prior to the war. So they looked into what they could do, and they ended up talking to a designer named Petra Cabot. And they asked her to spice up their boring little accessory, maybe a little color or some little, you know, iconic little doodle on the side. But she had much bigger plans. And she was very, as we understand it, very emphatic on the need to do it right. With a sense of style, which she certainly did. So she came back with a red and yellow Scottish tartan pattern with originally authentic leather strips on the upper and lower parts of the core. That ended up being too expensive to produce, so they ended up just printing that kind of leather color, just give the idea of the leather that was original. But that design really took off, and then really that kind of late 50s, 60s is where it became iconic. Anybody who's a fan of Mad Men may have likely have seen the park scene with the McDonald's wrappers with a Scotch Cooler in the background as they just casually discard the wrappers into the wind like people used to do back then. out the car windows, used to see it all over until the famous ad with the Native Americans tear. But anyway,
yeah,
I digress. So just a really great run in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s. But then eventually it fell out of fashion. The design fell out of fashion. Sales started slowing down. And eventually Hamilton Scotch ceased to operate and abandoned their trademark. So in 2017, and actually earlier than that, due to some efforts on my brother's part, we looked into acquiring that trademark and how we could relaunch the brand.
Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer.
So what was the moment where you thought to relaunch it? What made you get the idea to bring
it
back?
I'll jump in here. So I was at a party in the Berkshires for a friend and just had a casual conversation with another friend who did some vintage shopping in the area. And he said, oh, have you ever heard of Scotch Cooler? And I said, oh my God, yeah. You know, went into the whole, had it as a kid. I'm sure eventually, you know, our parents sold it in a garage sale, but we used to really like the look of it. It really stood out. And so we were talking and it just so happened. This was on a Saturday night. On the night before, the day before, I just happened to have a conversation with a trademark attorney. So I said, you know, I don't know if it's still around. So I said, let me make a couple calls, you know, next week and see what's up. So I called the attorney and she did a search and said, you know what, it's available. So just started to dig in a little bit. And, you know, at the time, still happening, you know, vintage, authentic American is just so popular and the story is so great that you just sort of started from there. And really difficult to find somebody who didn't really love the idea. So, you know, talked to Patrick, who, you know, he has had his advertising agency for, I think, over 30 years. And so he's a bit of an expert in that area. And it just sort of started there. And then we should mention, you know, we have a third partner who he didn't get the chance to meet, Paul Axt, who is a childhood friend of ours. I actually went to school from kindergarten all the way up through University of Minnesota with Paul. And he has some, you know, the manufacturing experience. So it all just kind of came together.
Yeah. So your backgrounds were not in restoring vintage items and bringing them back to life. You just kind of used your skills that you had in other areas to make this perfect combination.
Well, Mark, you know, I really give credit to Mark. So, Mark, why don't you go into your background a little bit? Because if it wasn't for your kind of experience, particularly later in that part of your career, I'm not sure we would have been at this place from a design standpoint.
So I my career was always in fashion, and I was in conceptual design for Abercrombie & Fitch, which was usually that's something that smaller companies that would be left up to the designers, but we had our own department. You know, I didn't go to school for it, but we would just research brand right trends for Abercrombie. And so I just got some experience working at Abercrombie on, you know, branding and design and quality. And so, you know, that gave me just maybe enough confidence to be able to dig in, even though it wasn't my expertise. And then, you know, I worked in the Berkshires for a while, and everybody was so, the people I met through friends were so eager to help. Like the first prototype was made by my friend Mimi, who had a upholstery company, and she didn't really have the time to do it. And she had no idea what to charge, but she's like, you know, I really like this. I'm going to help you out. So she, with help of another leather worker, George Reeves, you know, they got together. So I had so much help along the way for something that was essentially already designed by Petra Cabot, but we wanted to sort of modernize it, you know, while still keeping the character of the product. So it just kind of went from there. It's just really a lot of help.
I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of these stories. You know, you can see the product, but to hear what's behind it and the way everybody kind of came together and got excited and helped you. I mean, that's story right there. That's great.
Absolutely.
So in terms of this thread of people helping out, you know, we had so much help early on, and then even on the back end, I had a old college roommate who actually helped me into my second career. We worked at the same advertising agency together for a while. He went on to a remarkable career involved with BMW Films, et cetera. And then he left and got involved with Faribault Woolen Mills, which is another iconic product. About that time, Mark had told me to look up this amazing place called Camp Wandawega. And so I did my research on the camp, and then I saw that they were connected to my college roommate, Bruce. And so I called him up and say, hey, tell me about this Teresa person. And so that launched that whole collaboration and everything that's happened with Camp Wandawega.
Yeah, we'd love to hear more about that, too. That's where I first met Mark and Patrick, was at Camp Wandawega to help with the launch of their Scotch jug with the iconic red plaid on it, but also one with Camp Wandawega that was a green jug. So talk a little more about that collaboration.
Sure. If any of your listeners are unaware of Camp Wandawega, although knowing you, they're probably all aware of Camp Wandawega. It is a campground for adults, although children are certainly welcome. Mm-hmm. But it's like going back in time. It is an amazing place. Anybody goes on Instagram, you can see it in a minute. And Teresa and her husband started this place. He had a connection to the camp back when he was a kid. There's a long story on Camp Wandawega, but they knew they always wanted to buy that camp if the opportunity ever came up, and then it did. So interestingly, another of the connections that we have with Teresa is that she's been in advertising for her entire career. She works for Ogilvy. She's a global creative director and an absolutely brilliant designer. So as we were sharing all of our Venn diagram of overlapping connections and people and careers and talking about the camp, we just came up with an idea of maybe doing a collaboration because the fit was so right of doing a jug that you would use at the camp in a color, frankly, that used to exist in the history of Scotch cooler. So we launched this green jug in collaboration with Camp Wandawega, and it sold out virtually in days. So we sold on our site, sold on Camp Wandawega's site, and it was certainly the right idea because it was very popular.
The Cabin Cast is brought to you by Roughing It in Style. On The Cabin Cast, we talk a lot about making memories. But what makes a home or getaway more likely to create those cherished times? The Interiors team at Roughing It in Style is here to help you find that perfect memory-making balance in your home. The balance between gathering and privacy, form and function, relaxation and entertaining. We have two showrooms stocked with furniture, decor, and lighting. Our up north store is in Harshaw, Wisconsin, 10 miles south of Minocqua, and our out west store sits on the doorstep of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. Find out more and plan your visit today at roughingitinstyle.com.
It might be good right now to tell everybody what your products that are available right now are, because you started with a Scotch bag. I personally use the bag as my work bag. I traveled with it. It's the perfect size bag to go under the plane seat in front of you. It's absolutely perfect. I love carrying it around, but it can carry your wine bottles. I mean, everything's so versatile. So there's the bag, the jug that you can get in the Scotch plaid or the Wandawega plaid, was a limited edition though, correct? The Wandawega. And then there's a grill. So I actually have the vintage grill and the new grill. They are amazing. I mean, I think going into summer, everybody's going to want to have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great, great products. And we'll link to your website. We'll link to your Instagram, because you can see your marketing skills coming out for sure on your Instagram. It's a beautifully done.
Thank you. Well, we can give you the exclusive announcement that we have some stationery launching on the website here very shortly. And other line extensions in the area of hardware and flatware that'll be coming up fairly soon.
That's very exciting. Love it.
Can you talk a little bit about the traditional tartan plaid? It's such an iconic look, and it's so identifiable with Scotch coolers, but just in general, it's like a, you know, rustic look. It's kind of made, it's always had a great holding pattern, but man, it's so cool. Like the color with the yellow and then the tartan. What, is that their traditional? That's the first plaid that they launched, correct?
Yes. So it's a Wallace tartan. And from what I understand, when they decided, okay, they're going to make a cooler out of this bucket, they knew it had to have some decorative elements. So they went with like a blue and yellow, not a tartan. And then when they hired Petra Cabot to redesign, she used the plaid because it was so popular in the day. Not necessarily just the Wallace tartan, but just tartan in general. And so that's what she used. And she went, as Pat mentioned, with, you know, the leather trim. And it just took off because there was nothing like it. And then they had imitators, the
yep.
Toter. Kristen, I love that jug that you posted today.
Yeah. I've
not heard of that brand, but that's from the same era, obviously. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how they landed on the Wallace tartan of all the tartans. And actually, we've got quite a bit of help from the Hamilton County, Ohio Historical Society. And I can reach back out to maybe they know that answer, but I think it was just very popular in the day.
It's so interesting because Eric has used a term, I think you said, I don't know if it's holding pattern or something along those lines, but the appeal, there's something magnetic about this design. And I remember specifically, my brother was sending me a vintage one as we were working through different design issues and questions. And he sent this one to me, but he didn't send it to me. He actually bought it on eBay from a woman who was a hairstylist in a salon that happened to be two blocks from my office. And I went down to pick it up, and she was maybe 26 years old, and she was just gushing about it. In fact, maybe she wasn't selling, maybe it was somebody, maybe the store owner, but she was just handing it to me, but she was just gushing. And I said, well, did your parents have one at home? She's like, no. Did your grandparents have one? No. Have you ever seen it before? No. I just know I love it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sharing with Eric before we started the interview that, gosh, it might have been 7 years ago, my girlfriends and I, we started a little Scotch cooler club. And whenever we'd go to the beach, we'd carry our Scotch coolers. If we went to the 4th of July parade, because it worked as a seat, it works as a cooler. If we're on the pontoon, it's a little table. I use them in my house as a table. You're right. There's just something that you're drawn to forever with these products. And you said something, was her name Petra?
I think it's Petra Cabot, who is an artist and designer.
And you talked about her attention to detail and things, and you guys really have that too in your products. They are beautifully made. They're investment pieces that people are going to be, you know, in 50 years, people are still going to be collecting them, and your pieces are going to be part of those collections too. So they're just beautifully done.
That's nice you say. I really got to give credit to Mark and to Paul. I mean, Mark's concept from day one is to say, okay, we have this iconic, wonderful design, but we've had a lot of advancement in materials, manufacturing processes, etc. So his goal, which I think he's executed beautifully, is to maintain the integrity of the design, but actually make the pieces better and work harder. You know, the grill is a great example. That thing is a workhorse. I mean, you could use that every single day. It is a workhorse. And interesting, when you look at some popular kind of campfire stoves in the market, it's the exact same design in terms of airflow that they had back with this original grill back in, you know, the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. Well, it's really, really cool. How'd you decide what to launch first?
Patrick said, okay, we need to do, you know, proof of concept here. So I basically took my collection of vintage Scotch cooler product. I mean, back in the day, in 1954, there were 67 Scotch cooler products, or I should say metalworks, not all of Scotch cooler. you know, various, and you probably know a lot of them, Kristen, if you big collector, but, you know, several grills, different sizes, like removable legs, several jugs. So I took my collection in my station wagon, and I was friendly with several boutique owners in Great Barrington, like Connie Griffin, as an owner of this great store there. She sells, you know, vintage and new clothing as well as home goods. So she, before we even started, was offered to just showcase the vintage products just to get a feel for what people liked. And so we had a pretty good idea there. And then I just, you know, kind of hit the road and went to 8 or 10 boutiques that I thought it would be, you know, suitable to sell. And we just sort of landed on, you know, the three, the soft cooler, the jug, and the grill. And I think we just put the, we just decided, let's just focus on the grill and the soft cooler, and then we'll follow up with the jug. I think it was just a little bit more complicated with the jug, and we said, let's just focus on those two. So, you know, we had a consensus from the owners, and they loved all of them, but they said, oh, you know, the bag's more of a day-to-day item. The grill is just so cool. You can't miss it. And then, you know, the jug's great. So that's how that happened.
What's the biggest challenge with launching something like that? Like, I mean, because you're all of a sudden you're thinking about, you know, airflow and did you guys have to like do a deep dive into all these different products, like the best features, not even materials, but just, I mean, there's engineering that goes into a grill, and that's an interesting, you know, thing to have to discover.
Yeah, just through the research, just discovered. And Paul knew somebody that could help us with, say, the spigot for the jug. I was research found somebody in Rochester, New York, an engineer who helped with, you know, the grill. And then, you know, Mimi, who I mentioned before, was really helpful with the soft cooler. Just, you know, and then we had another designer, this man, George Reeves, was a leather expert. So they all weighed in, we took notes, and then, you know, we did, you know, did the whole prototype process and just got going.
You know, as the brand guy, I have to say, I was like, let me get this straight. We're relaunching the brand, but we're not going to launch with the iconic bucket. Like, no, we did our research and this is the way to go. And it turned out to be a really smart decision. And I'll say on their part, I just agreed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Has it been a challenge with the supply chain stuff, just like everybody else? Have you guys been running into some of that stuff for launching new lines, or has it been pretty good for you guys?
The only true effect, besides some shipping costs for certain events that we've had that were unexpected, was the anxiety of hoping and praying that we're going to get the jugs before the holiday season, which we did. But once it's on a ship or it's near a dock, but not at the dock, you have no idea. There's just no way to know where it is. So other than that, though, it's you know, Paul did a wonderful job. And yeah, so we avoided a lot of problems others have.
Good.
Were there other challenges that surprised you, though, as you went into this?
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where I guess it would be great if all three of us had this exact experience, you know, on this type of product for entire careers, and the chances of that are pretty slim. But that kind of cross-category experience of medical devices and branding and marked design maybe helped us kind of just approach it with a fresher view. Because again, you know, it'd be very easy to just knock off exactly what was done before. But Mark wanted a beefier handle, and he wanted, you know, better hinges, and he wanted a spigot that was going to be, you know, much beefier, but also look iconic from that time period, you know, and it's all those types of things. But that was really, again, what Mark wanted to do, and he wanted to do it right, and having good partners on the manufacturing design side that can help deliver.
Even your packaging is beautiful. I mean, and the box shows up at your house, you know, on your porch, and it has a picture of what the product on the front of it. I mean, everything, you haven't missed a detail on any of it.
Oh, so, thank you.
Well, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's really great.
Appreciate
yeah.
that.
I can't forget, I have to give credit to also you know, my 4 years I spent in the Berkshires, Molly and Aurel, de Saint-André, they have their designers. They have, you know, I go visit them and get some input from them, and they have two adorable kids. And Aurel is from France, and he would be, you know, talking to me and stepping away to print something on a t-shirt from their children's clothing line, and then come back and give some great, you know, advice on, you know, whether it's the logo, and which is already, you know, great. But so it's just such a collaborative effort. I can't thank those people enough.
Well, we've been hearing, you know, amazing stories about people saving up to have, that's what they wanted for Christmas. You know, a lot of people had it on their Christmas lists. I had a birthday recently, and one of my friends who had bought one of the jugs brought the jug full of punch to the party for everybody, you know, so it's just a hit wherever it goes. What are some of the interesting, fun ways you guys have used the products yourselves?
Well, I'm fortunate to be in sunny California, Carmel by the Sea here right now, and have been for a little bit. So for me, it is just ideal, particularly with the grill and the jug, just heading down to the beach. And then we have some similarly wine-crazed friends as well. And one of the really cool things that Mark did on the soft cooler was the bottom, you know, support, let's say strip, it's attached by Velcro. So you pull that out, and then you use that as a divider for two bottles of wine, so you don't have the clanking and, you know, potential for breakage. So it's an ideal wine carrier, I can tell you firsthand.
That's awesome. Mark, do you have a favorite product, or is that like naming a favorite kid?
It's kind of like the favorite kid, but I think I'm partial to the grill. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't get out much these days, but we'll just use it as a fire, you know, just have a fire, even when we're not grilling. And we did it the last couple Halloweens just in our neighbor's driveway, where we'll have a little table, we'll give out candy, and we'll sit outside in the driveway with the neighbors and have a few beers and watch the kids come and go. That's probably, you know, my favorite memory or use of the grill.
Yeah, it is great because it's so portable. You can, like Patrick said, you can take it to the beach. You can take it to your neighbors, like you said, Mark. You can put it on the table. It can go anywhere.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably, maybe you can weigh in on this, it's probably like an extra burger, bigger than the original.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
You know, I know Soho House in Chicago actually bought, you know, a number of them, so that their guests and patrons could have their own grill for roasting marshmallows up on the rooftop,
which I love that.
A pretty cool idea.
Love that. I bet it's bringing people in their doors that maybe hadn't even been there yet. They wanted to toast a marshmallow on the rooftop. That's great.
Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So share with us what your perfect day would be like. So maybe Patrick, it's at the beach. Maybe it's in the, you know, surrounded with friends. What's your favorite day if you're at a cabin, you're at the beach, you're beside a lake, from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed?
Well, let's see. We used to rent a cabin, so I can tell you specifically how that works. I would generally start off early in the morning fishing on the first day. And I chose fishing on the first day and water skiing the second day, so I didn't irritate all the fishermen who would recognize me. So once I got into the water skiing on the flat water in the morning, my fishing days were probably over. But that, you know, and then come up for a nice cup of coffee and watching the day go by, and then, you know, golf during the day, and then, you know, kind of sunset, you know, overlooking the water. But then inevitably a Wisconsin supper club for dinner. So yeah. I'll end it at the cabin eventually, but there's got to be a Wisconsin supper club in the program somewhere.
And do you have a favorite? I'm going off topic a second, but do you have a favorite supper club in Wisconsin that you're going to?
Well, you know, there is. We are such huge Packer fans, and Mazzini, just, you know, not too far from Lambeau Field, that is our go-to stop on the way to all Packer games. It's called the Pinewood Inn. Okay. And it is iconic. And you walk in and you look to the left, and there are about 20 old fashions lined up, both sweet and sour.
Yeah.
And so that's the starting point, and then to the main dining room. And yeah, that's our go-to.
Yeah. Awesome. Mark?
So my wife and two kids, we used to rent a place when we lived out in Eastern Long Island. We used to rent our house and then for the summer move to the North Fork. And we'd stay at this place called Cherry Lane Farm, which has, you know, been around for 100 years. And there were several cabins. The one we would stay in, there'd be families coming in throughout the summer that have been going there for years. And we stayed at a renovated chicken coop from the 1920s. Just super rough.
Wow.
As chicken coops can be. And then we, you know, it's a beautiful beach overlooking a little Peconic Bay, and you could see Shelter Island. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area. So we, you know, we just get up when we get up, go to the beach, maybe go kayaking, and then we would, you know, get a grill and grill clams or whatever, you know, seafood, you know, Pat Nelson, the owner, would have on hand, and then just have beers, and the kids would be off, you know, playing with new friends. And the best sunset, there was a beautiful marsh right there. So really great memories from going there.
Oh, I just feel like just sitting here and thinking about all those things as we sit in the dead of winter here right now.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised, Patrick, if I show up around your Scotch grill sometime there on the beach.
You're welcome. Come this weekend.
Right. Oh, that would be great if we didn't have hockey games every weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just want to thank you guys so much for coming on to share the story of Scotch Cooler. I know it's been so fun to see something so iconic and historic that you see at antique stores be brought back to life in such a awesome way. You know, it's funny. My wife and I have a couple of them that we collected way before, you know, we even really got into the business and just had them, but you're a little worried about the chemicals they used back then and the integrity and those things. So now having it come back and being able to, you know, trust it and look at it, and it's, you feel a lot better about using that stuff for your family. And we're just excited to see it and see it out in the world. I'm sure, you know, Kristen has them for sale at her shop, and I'm looking forward to seeing them on boats and on the docks this summer, kind of on boats going by. So we just want to thank you guys for bringing something so neat back into the world.
We really appreciate it. One other thing I would say, though, Mark, you think Mom and Dad might have sold the cooler. I'm thinking one of our sisters might have stolen it. But
That could be.
Well, this is fun. It was really great to get to know more about the story and hear about all the collaborations and teamwork that went into it, and special skills for you brothers and your other partner. So we're honored to share your story with everybody. And like I said, we'll share all the links. We'll share some photos and things to get more people aware of your products. So
We can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode. Follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.